Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Destination Marketing Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Adam Stoker, and we've got a really different show for you today. I'm excited to talk about some of the things we'll go through today, but I want to highlight the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. I think we've talked about what it is, but I want to just give a refresher for those of you that maybe weren't listening at the time or are new to the show. The Destination Marketing Podcast Network is a network of podcasts designed for the tourism industry. And so there's several different shows that are currently in the network. And what I wanted to do today is highlight a few of those shows so that you can kind of see what the different shows in the network are about. And maybe you'll hear a topic that's interesting enough that you want to dive deeper on that specific topic. If so, this will be a great show for you to kind of understand what the landscape is in the Destination Marketing Podcast Network and see what other shows there are, because I know a lot of us are hungry for that audio content in the industry. So the first thing that I want to highlight is we have a show called Influencer Marketing for Destinations, and that show is hosted by Jess Darrington and Jacqueline Crane. And Jacqueline Crane is our Director of Public Relations and Long-Form Content at Relic. And then Jess Darrington oversees all of our social media. And so between the two of them, they've got this podcast. And I think this first episode, you're going to hear an excerpt from this first episode that talks about why marketers and influencers need to work really well together. And then how do they work really well together? You'll hear an excerpt from that show here.
So talking about influencer marketing, I think one of the important and really awesome things about having Jess and me talk about this is that we can be on both sides of the table. So from a marketing perspective, I feel like influencer marketing is something that more and more people are doing. There are more and more dollars in everyone's budget being put towards this effort. And a lot of times it's really stressful to just jump in and get started. I think from the marketing side, influencer marketing can be a little challenging, but I also think it can be fun. Influencers can be a great resource for destinations to bring brand awareness to their area and to really help them promote responsible travel. What do you think, Jess?
You know, I totally agree with you. I think destinations, if they are not doing influencer marketing, they really are missing out on a very important piece of that marketing process. In addition to the brand awareness, I really do think that influencers, they can provide a lot of value, not only to their own audience, but also to the destination's audience when they partner and run these campaigns. New content is always appreciated online, right? And you want to provide value to your audience. And by hiring an influencer, you can really show that brand awareness. And if you're an influencer, partnering with the destination really can provide that value to your audience.
I really thought Jess and Jacqueline did a great job there of explaining how influencers and marketers can work really well together. And I think that's just a small taste of all the different tips and tactics that they go through in their show. I want to play one more excerpt from their show. This one's from episode 5, and it's all about the difference between micro and nano influencers and why brands are starting to use them in their marketing plan and how to know which one is right for you. Go ahead and give it a listen.
In the past, companies have not paid super close attention to micro-influencers, but I've definitely noticed over the last year and a half, they have a specialized focus on specifically partnering with micro-influencers because they're more specialized, right? They have a specific niche and usually a more engaged audience than macro-influencers.
Definitely. And so that kind of brings us to this opinionated controversy of how much really is micro-influencers? How many followers is that? The article specifically stated that less than 10,000 followers was their definition of a micro-influencer. However, I've read a lot of different sources, and I think for me, and when I look at influencers as a marketer, I usually look at somewhere around 10,000 to about 50 or even 100,000 followers as my micro-influencer. What do you think, Jess?
I would agree with that statement. I think a term that's been used in recent years is a nano influencer, and that a nano influencer is one that has 10,000 followers or less. So when we're discussing this, I think we're going to use this definition of a micro influencer is anyone with that 10,000 to
100,000 mark of followers. And then if you're a nano influencer, you typically have about 10,000 followers or less than that. However, both micro and nano influencers are on the rise, and especially companies are very interested in working with both sets of influencers.
I can agree with that too. As a company, as a marketer, and as a representative for destinations, we do look at micro and nano influencers, and those are what we utilize the most.
So the Influencer Marketing for Destinations podcast, as you can hear, gives some great insight. And that's our first of many marketing podcasts that we're launching here in the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. In fact, our newest show is called Tourism Media Mayhem, and I love this one. It's hosted by Josh Shear, who's our digital marketing director and also our director of strategic partnerships at Relic, and Sasha Jackson, who is our media director and oversees our account team. And the two of them rarely agree on how the budget should be split between digital and traditional media. And so we thought it would be fun to create a podcast where they actually riff off of each other and talk about which medium is best given the situation that a destination is in at the time. I think it's a really, really fun show. They're a little bit all over the place, but that's a good thing. And I think you'll kind of get a taste of that in this excerpt that you're going to hear here.
So Sasha, let's jump into the meat of our podcast here.
Let's do it.
I have, I enjoy trash talking traditional media.
I know you do.
Because literally so much of it, like literally ends up in the trash, you know, like direct mail
after they call the number.
After they call the number. and so, yeah, let's dive into why digital's better.
Yeah, I think it's important to mention that I oversee the traditional media department, so thus traditional versus digital debate that we will have ensuing throughout the podcast.
Hey, Sasha, did you know that when I started, I thought you hated me?
Did you? No, I did. No, just kidding. I didn't. We've been buddies.
No, I really did. I thought you disliked me. I thought you're like, who is this jerk?
Well, you came in and tried to steal all my budget, so, you know.
Well, yeah, because someone needs to control your freaking traditional budgets.
Media.
Yeah.
Well, you did. We got a nice balance going now. We've got a nice balance.
So as you can see, that's going to be a great show. We're really excited that one's coming along. And then we've got several other marketing-focused shows coming throughout the rest of this year. Another really exciting part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network is the Destination Track. So we've got the Marketing Track, which is what you've heard. It's the Destination Marketing Podcast, Influencer Marketing for Destinations, Tourism Media Mayhem, and there's more coming. But the other side of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network is turnkey podcasts for destinations. And we've got some really, really fun shows in our network. The first one that I want to highlight is the Hola Laredo podcast. This podcast is hosted by Natasha Lai. Natasha hosts several of our destination podcasts here at Relic and does an incredible job. I want to take an excerpt from one of the episodes that she did with Eileen Ramos. Eileen is the director of the Convention and Visitors Bureau there in Laredo, Texas. And together they were talking all about food in this episode. It's a fun segment. It gives great information for travelers looking to visit Laredo. They should have a pretty good idea, and they should be salivating by the time this episode is done.
I remember one time my brother and I were watching this stand-up comedian, and he mentioned vacation is all about food. Like, you wake
yes.
up and you think, where should we go have breakfast? And then the next thing is, should we have lunch? And so vacation is all about food. And as you know, Laredo is located on the border with Mexico. We have access to a great variety of ingredients necessary for Mexican cuisine. Actually, if you go to one of our grocery stores here, you will find almost everything you need to prepare a home-cooked Mexican meal. But of course, during vacation, who wants to cook, right? So
right.
we also have great restaurants. We have great places, and we're going to talk about a few of them. We have 10 that we're going to talk about, but they're not necessarily the only ones. There are some of my favorite ones, but there's a lot more here in Laredo that you can explore in terms of food and in terms of different types of food.
And here's a quick hit about my favorite restaurant in Laredo that I've eaten at called La India. Give it a listen.
This is in no specific order, but the first one that I wanted to talk about is a place that some of the team in Relic had a chance to go to and try. And it's a packing company. We've talked about it before in the podcast, and it's La India Packing Company. This is a really well-known restaurant here in Laredo. They're a spice company, but they also have a tasting room. And it's so, so cute because you go into the house, the actual house where the founders of the company lived, and you have to ring the bell, you have to knock the door to be let in. And when you go in, and I think I've mentioned this before, but it looks like any Mexican grandmother's house. Like, I remember my grandmother had that china. She had those coasters. Yeah. Like, it looks like every Mexican grandma's house. So you feel at home right off the bat. And when you go in, yes. And when you go in, it's a multi-sensory experience because they have all the spices there. You go in and the first thing that hits you is the smell and the aroma of all those wonderful spices. And then when you taste the food, it's amazing. The flavors are very, very interesting because they're bold. Some of them are very familiar flavors, but some of them are very different. And so it's a multi-sensory experience, every way you look at it.
So episode 11 of the Hola Laredo podcast is all about Laredo Main Street. In fact, Natasha interviews Paco Barrientos. He's the president of Laredo Main Street, and she asks him a lot about how Main Street is so intertwined with the history and story of Laredo, Texas. He goes a little bit into the story of Laredo, Texas. Really interesting content for visitors. And then a little bit later, Eileen Ramos talks about what it's like to be a tourist in your own city, which is really food for thought when you think about how the podcast for a destination affects not only visitors, but can be really impactful for residents as well.
I mean, there's so much history downtown. I mean, going back to the late 1700s. And so you do see the architecture, you know, the design of architecture from one era to the other to the other. I mean, so you're looking at least 250 years of different architecture, you know. So that's something that we would like to showcase to you at Laredo Main Street for the visitor. You know, even if they take a stroll downtown, a walk, they can just, you know, use your imagination and really put yourself back in the 1800s or in the early 1900s. I mean, so there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of interesting points in downtown.
One of my favorite things is to be a tourist in my own community. And one of the things that we did, my husband and I, a few years ago, is we did a staycation for our anniversary. So we live probably around 4 miles. Laredo is the shape is kind of funny. So we live probably 4 miles away from downtown, right? And so we said, we're going to stay downtown. We're going to shop downtown. We're going to do a weekend getaway in downtown. And so we did that. We stayed here in downtown in one of the hotels. And we said, we're not going to go beyond mile marker 2. And so we went to San Bernardo. We shopped in San Bernardo. We ended up buying pots and some funky stuff, really cool stuff. We ended up going to, there was an arts festival at the college that weekend. We went to the museums. And so sometimes here in Laredo, we were like, downtown, but it really, I mean, we spent the whole weekend here and it was just so fun. So when you said you put on your hat and you go around, I love to do that. That's one of my favorite things.
Make sure you check out the Hola Laredo podcast. There's a ton of great content. It helps that Laredo is such a culture-rich destination and that there's such a great story to tell. There's an endless supply there. Another really interesting show in the Destination Marketing Podcast Network is the Intercoastal Podcast. The Intercoastal Podcast has done a really interesting job of bringing in local stakeholders to tell the story of the small businesses within the destination. It's a fascinating case study on how to engage stakeholders by inviting them onto your medium to tell your story. Natasha Lai also hosts this podcast. She's getting a lot of love on the show today, but she really does do a great job with each of these podcasts. Last July, the show did a special two-part episode highlighting some of the famous landmarks found in the area, as well as some of the influential people that lived in Beaufort during the Civil War era. In episode 7, Natasha interviews Victoria Smalls, and this is a great interview. She's a cultural preservationist, and they talk about a few of the people that had a profound impact on Beaufort, including Harriet Tubman. Check it out.
So that brings me to this other notable person who left her mark on Beaufort. And yes, that's Harriet, the Harriet, who freed hundreds of enslaved people. Well, she also led 150 African-American soldiers in a Union raid on the Cumbie River here in the Beaufort area and liberated more than 700 enslaved people.
I didn't think she could get much cooler, but she just got cooler.
Absolutely. So we learned about maybe the Underground Railroad.
Right.
And her freeing about, you know, a couple of hundred enslaved people. Mm-hmm. I did not know, even living here in Beaufort as a youngster, I did not know about the Cumbie River Raid. I did not know about this. And so Harriet Tubman is going to be the first woman to lead a major military operation in the United States with this raid. And
that's so cool.
It is. It is. It is.
I'm like speechless over here. Like, I'm so excited about this.
Yeah, I have goosebumps because it's so...
Honestly, same.
Yeah. To be able to share the history of our area and of these very notable people and tie them to the history of Beaufort is outstanding.
There is a lot of history, as you can tell, in Beaufort, South Carolina, and it's fun to highlight it on the Intercoastal Podcast. Another really cool episode of the Intercoastal Podcast was an interview between Natasha and Jim Pohorski. He's the owner of Beaufort Kayak Tours. It's a great example of how a destination can utilize the podcast to showcase a local stakeholder while informing visitors of the different activities and opportunities that they have in the area.
You fall in love with the people and the community and the environment, the nature, the size is appealing. There's not a big city, but yet they're close enough that you can get it if you need it. And we find that very appealing about living here. That is certainly what drew us here. This is the smallest city that we've ever lived in, and that was a concern when we moved here. But that has long faded. That is certainly no longer a concern with what the city has to offer. We often hear people say, well, you know, we came here on a vacation or we came here in the service. We have a couple Marine bases here.
Right.
And they come back and retire here. And they say, we fell in love with it when we're here. So I don't know what it is. It's, I guess, maybe a little bit of everything that I just mentioned. But that story is repeated here in the Lowcountry over and over and over again. And being around people that want to be in an environment like this is great. So not so much about Beaufort Kayak Tours, but certainly about the Lowcountry and living here in Beaufort County.
Well, there you go. If you haven't noticed yet, I'm a big fan of podcasting, which is why we have launched so many different podcasts here at Relic. I feel, and you can go back to an episode that I did previously where I talk about, you know, why every destination needs a podcast. I'm passionate about it because the listening habits are changing. The content consumption habits by the public are changing, and they're changing to a passive format. A podcast gives you the ability to produce your content and publish your content in the format that the visitor wants to consume it. We love the shows that we've done. There's more coming. I hope you guys enjoyed getting a little piece of that. And other than that, we'll see you next week. Okay, guys, events are such a big part of our normal, and it's so fun to see events on the calendar for the first time in a very long time. Coming up at the eTourism Summit this fall is the 4th Annual eTourism Summit Excellence Awards, or the ETSI Awards, in partnership with the Expedia Group Media Solutions and the Destination Marketing Podcast, that may be familiar to you guys, recognizes and celebrates the best of the 2020 to 2021 campaigns and programs with awards in a dozen original categories. Help eTourism Summit recognize the best of digital tourism marketing by submitting your entry by June 28, 2021. Winners will be announced and celebrated at the live event in September. If you want to submit some of your work, the entry fee is only $99, and all entries will be judged by a jury of your peers on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 is blah, and 10 is heavenly, so you'll probably fall somewhere in between. It's based on the following criteria: strategy and objective, creativity, impact, and measurability. You guys, this is going to be an amazing event. It's so good to see these awards happening, and there was some incredible work, campaigns, strategies, innovations that came out of the last year. You need to submit to the Etsy Awards. So submit, show off, let's see your work, and we'll see you in September down at eTourism Summit.